That means, what does it mean a little while from now? From 50 years ago, it was quite a while. But right now, we're closer than ever. We don't know the time. And we're advised not to start naming times. Harold Camping, I think it was, has given us 6 or 7 times, and he's missed it every time. That's not what God put in our heart. What he put in our heart is that he's coming, and we need to be ready when he comes and stay ready and stay working until that time. When Katie was just a little girl, probably 3 years old or so, we were all on a houseboat. And by all, I mean Bobby and Terry, Bobby and Sherry, and Debbie and I, and all of our kids. And Katie was up at 7. She didn't like to sleep like the others until 8 or whenever. She wanted to get up, and she had a little toy that was a cassette player. And she wanted to play the song. And I said, Katie, everybody's asleep. And if we play that, we'll wake them up. So let's just wait a little while. And so she asked me in a minute, well, is it a little while? I said, not yet, Katie. Everybody's still asleep. And I think we did that a couple of times. And then finally, she just punched the button. And we had the music. And so I was recording this for some reason or other. I said, well, I guess a little while is up. And, you know, the reality of the Lord's coming, there will be a time where that will be up. I was thinking about how is the world going to explain what has happened? But I see how the world explains current events all the time. And they twist it and turn it and let them have at it. When we're gone, they can do and say whatever they want to. Years and years ago, Rex Humbard put a program together because he was good at TV. He was one of the first and one of the best TV evangelists. And he put together a program that said, when we're gone, punch this button and we'll tell you where we're at and we'll tell you how we got there. And pretty basically, he was using the scripture. If you look in the book of John 14, one of the talk show hosts used this, let not your heart be troubled all the time. I don't know if he knows the full impact of it, but we do. And in John 14, 1 through 6, it says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Can't tell you how many times we've read this recently at funerals because, wow, what a comforting power. We're many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, and I go to prepare a place for you. We're going to build and create a place for you. We've been working on a house for a year and a half. We're getting very close to the finish. I don't know how close, but I'm hoping real close. And if everybody cooperates by the end of the month, we ought to be complete in the house. So I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way? You know what? I appreciate Thomas asking this question. And here's why. Because Jesus gave this answer. Jesus said unto him, I am the way. The truth and the life, no man or no one comes to the Father except through me. So if we want to go to this place that's been prepared, we know that Jesus went away. The scripture, we're going to read that next out of the book of Acts. But he sure enough went away. And what he told us was, I sure enough will come back and receive you and take you to that place. Can you imagine the tour of when we get to that place and how the Lord's going to show us around? A lot of people have come to visit our house that we've been working on. And even in the framing stage, I'd say, oh, this is the living room. You couldn't tell what room it was. Here's a bathroom. Here's this and that. And you couldn't see it. But let me tell you what. Today, that very same thing that started rough and in the frame is now nice and the things are put together. We have just small details and you can see clearly what it was and where it was going, where it was headed way back a year ago. Jesus said, I'm going to go to prepare a place for you that where I am, there you may be also. And the greatest part of all that the Lord has prepared is that we're going to be with Him, and we're going to be with Him forever. In the book of Acts 1, 4 through 11, the reason we're starting at 4, the last part, 9 through 11, tells about Jesus going away. But I think this is important, this fourth through the 8th verse. And being assembled together with them, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, you have heard from Me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked Him, saying, Lord, will You at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father hath put in His own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to Me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Brother Connor just challenged us to start praying for the Spirit to be full in everybody's life. And we all need, if we've been filled with the Spirit a long time ago, we still need to be filled on a daily basis with the power of the Spirit, because we can't contain enough to last us forever. We need the continual being filled with the Holy Spirit. Were we baptized at one point? Yes. But we don't stop there. We just keep going and opening our heart to the power and the move of the Holy Spirit. When the disciples wanted to know more information about end times and when are you coming and when is it all going to be put together, Jesus said, that's not for you to know. You need to be filled with the Spirit. The thing that is right at hand, the first order of business is be filled with the Spirit. And then it goes on, now when He had spoken these things and while they watched, this is the last thing Jesus told them, be filled with the Spirit. Why is it that people can't get that today? Why is it they want to say, this is, my dad said to me today, said, none of these things are past. People are still getting saved. People are still getting healed. And people are still getting filled with the Holy Ghost. How can they say they've stopped back in the days of the apostles? And I agree with him on that. I don't know how they can say that. But when Jesus had spoken these things, he was taken away. Did I read that yet? All that? Now my memory's gone. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, He went up, and behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you have seen Him go into heaven. So the witness is Jesus' last words, be filled with the Spirit. Stay filled with the Spirit. Always operate in the power of the Holy Ghost. And He did not tell us, wait, you know, for the first 100 years or so of the church, and then after that, the Spirit's no more. This was so important. He wanted them to understand that the church would be powered by the Holy Spirit. And then the angels, the men in white apparel, took over and said, you've seen Him go. And He's coming back. The same way that you've seen Him go, He's coming back. You know, this was almost a private thing. The whole world wasn't watching. Just these who had gathered there were there. And I've heard commentary say, if it weren't for the fact that they said, go on and get back, get about your business, they would have stood there forever. That's the way human beings are. Human beings delight in seeing a cloud that looks like Mary and Jesus together. And they make a big thing out of that. They take a lump of coal or a piece of rock or a tree that's a certain formation, and they want to deify it. But we don't have that. Jesus went away, but He said, I'm coming again. And just as these men said, these men in white apparel, He's coming back like you've seen Him go away. Those people are gone, but we are here today. How many would like to go in the rapture of the church? I think we've all always kind of had that thought. And I've heard so many reports of people being promised that you're going to go in the rapture, and I think it would be the most wonderful thing in the world. But this next reading of the scripture, 1 Thessalonians 4, covers us both ways. because it's Paul answering some questions, and in doing so, bringing great comfort to the church. One of the greatest of all the Jesus' coming and rapture verses, and that is, but I do not want you, this is 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. He said, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who are asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. We can listen for that shout. And the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And I think just as the angel said, you've seen him go away, there's going to be someone there, and we're going to hear him, and they're going to say, he's coming! Are you ready? And hopefully we're ready and we'll be able to go. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain will be caught up. We sing the song, I'll Fly Away. I don't think it'll be quite flying. I think it'll be a zoom. And then we'll be gone. But that's just my thought. I don't know, nor does anyone else know exactly how we're going to go from here to there. I've often seen pictures and people have clothes laying behind. I'm thinking, how do you know we're going to leave our clothes behind? We might take them to heaven with them and have them go. I don't know how that's going to be. But I do know this, that when Jesus sends a command and he speaks and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, then we're going to go and we're going to be with him forever like he had planned and he had promised. And he'll show us all around that wonderful place. And it said, we'll be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet in the Lord in the air. That's why we used to sing every service, there's going to be a meeting in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. What was Paul explaining? He was explaining those that have died already. They're going to be okay. And we're going to be okay. Now, Paul and all those that he ministered to, those that he wrote to, they're gone. But they're not going to be just gone. They're going to be resurrected or raised first, and we're going to be able to join them and meet in the air. And what a glorious and wonderful meeting that's going to be. Jesus is coming. There are so many references to the Lord's coming. So many. There's another one that I love in the book of Luke that talks about the day of redemption. When you see these signs coming, then lift up your head, that your redemption draweth nigh. And I see a lot of maybe the next coming of the Lord in that. And so I thought, well, we'll leave that one because we've got enough. So what do we do with the fact that Jesus is coming? How do we handle this? And here's my message in three short points. Number one, we need to praise the Lord. We need to rejoice in the hope. We need to be thankful that we're part of the group that's ready to go. And we need to worship more than we've ever worshiped before. This is the end. What I'm trying to tell everyone that's working on the house in Fremont is the finish line is right there, and you better get to sprinting. It's time. I've got a couple of crews that have slowed themselves down, and it's time for them to hear, that's enough of that. Go fast as hard as you can and get done and get out of here, because we want to finish. We want to get to that point. This is the end when Jesus comes, where the church is going to be gone. Well, what's going to happen after that? Well, read Left Behind if you want to know. That's a fairly good series, and it's probably close to what's going to happen. But that won't be our concern because we'll be there. The greatest thing we can do is just keep praising, just keep shouting, just keep glorifying the Lord. Teach every one of our children that there's hope, not only in this world, but they're going to go and be with the Lord forever. Hallelujah. What abortion has done to America is rob us of a lot of little souls. What the rapture is going to do to America is going to take a lot of those souls. Glory. That's going to be amazing. That's going to be amazing. The rapture and the children that are going to be there with us and with the Lord. But we need to just pour on the love and the glory and the honor to Jesus. I have one of my guys says, My church sang one song 8 times. And he said, I just can't take that. He said, I wish you'd sing it once or twice. I said, man, you better start practicing for heaven because you're just, I don't think you're going to make it. I said, what are you going to do? You're going to be sitting in the corner. The Lord's going to ground you for sure. I said, sometimes there are songs I could sing 20 or 30 times, and one of them is shout to the Lord. I think it's time to shout to the Lord and glorify Him and raise His name because Jesus is coming. And then what's another thing that we should do? We should pray for the lost because Jesus is coming. There's an old song that says, wait a little longer, please, Jesus. When it comes time, Jesus is not going to wait a little longer. He's not going to tarry. What does the scripture say? He that is to come will come and will not tarry. So we need to pray now while we have the time for the lost souls because He's coming. Pray for the sins of this country and pray for the sins of the world. Let God know that your heart is against that evil that's being perpetrated, even by people who willfully and just so much enjoy their sin. But we need to pray and let God know where our hearts is. Lord, we're against this, and we pray that you'll bring redemption, bring forgiveness, oh God. Let every mouth, let every heart, like the scripture says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So it's a time of great prayer. Not just a little prayer, not just a little folding of the hands, not just a little bit of an effort, but a big effort. We've got to pray. Jesus is coming. This is the last thing. This is going to be over here in a minute. Be ready. Behave. Be good. I was always told when I was little, pretty is pretty does. Always told you better be good. When I was 8 or 10 years old, I went to the show. A good show. Not a bad show, a good show. But I went to the show, and at the time, we weren't sure if we were going to make rapture if we were in the show. I think I would have been fine because it was the Absent-Minded Professor, and that was a good show. Fred McMurray, I mean, you know, there was a Western on after that, and it was fairly good too. But we were taught that you really wanted to be ready. Folks, we need to have that seriousness and that urgency that we must be ready. The scripture says, for in such an hour that you think not, the Son of Man cometh. It's going to be a surprise. When Jesus comes, it's going to be a surprise. I don't believe, even though it's going to happen all over the world, I don't believe the sinners are going to see it. I think they're going to miss the greatest thing that's ever happened in the church history, the rapture of the church. I think they're going to miss it. They're going to be missing people, and they're going to have a lot of scratching their head. But you say, well, I'm sorry, but we've got to pray for them now and let them scratch their heads later if they resist the Lord. We've got to be ready. We've got to be living in a life that's pleasing to the Lord, and our testimony should be evident in every way, that every part of our life and everything that we say, everything that we do, should be the testimony that Jesus is coming. And if you see me gone, it's because He's taken us away. We look for this. This is our finish. This is the greatest part, I think, of the church. And I do believe there's going to be some revival happen here real quick. Great revival, not just in Calvary Temple, but I think there's going to be a revival because Jesus is coming. And I think the mulberry tree is going to be rattling and shaking, and I think people are going to say, wait a minute, there's something happening and I want to be a part of it. So this is what I offer, that we need to praise harder than we praised before, pray more, and pray for the lost, pray for the lost, pray for the lost. There's so many that have rejected the Lord and so hard against Jesus Christ. Pray that God will soften their hearts and that there will be miracle after miracle that will show forth the mercy of God and His grace. And be ready, because when we get ready, when it happens, we better be ready. It's coming quickly. Let's bow our heads tonight. Precious Savior, we honor You above everything. And we look to Your coming, Lord. This is an exciting thing for the church. And even though we're not hearing as much as we used to, Lord, Your coming is closer. And I pray, Lord, that You'll deal with every heart that's here tonight. Let no one leave this building without knowing, without doubt, they're ready to meet you, Lord. That if the trumpet sounds, they're going to hear that sound. Lord, I pray that you'll minister to every life. It's very simple for us just to say, Lord, I give all, I surrender all to you, all my life, Lord. Forgive me of all my sins. Come into my heart. Live in me, Lord, day by day by day. Lord Jesus, I want your mercy and your grace in everything that I do. I pray, Lord, that you'll allow conviction to stir within the area that we live in and in the country and in the world. Let conviction come. Sin is not going to make heaven. Sin is not going to make the rapture. But Lord, if we have your blood covering our souls, we're going to be there. And I pray for the redemption, Lord, to come. The souls being saved and the lives, Lord Jesus, belonging to you. We give you praise tonight. We give you praise tonight. Holy God, would you stand with us tonight? And just one more prayer. Lord, I pray blessing upon your people and strength in every life. And I pray, Lord, tonight that you will touch our spirit. If there's anything that's not right, Lord, let it be settled. Lord, let us come before you and let us open our mouths and say, forgive me, Jesus. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us to live for you, to serve you. Lord, because you're coming again, let us feel the urgency of that. Lord, you could come before we get home. And we need to know that. We need to be ready. Lord, let us as a church be ready to meet you. 100% Calvary Temple in the rapture in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, and we'll see you next time. Hallelujah.
Praise Jesus. Praise. Bless you, Brother Brandon.